soluble fiber also, like, a lot of it ferments, and that's good. Like, the good bacteria, like, use it. So we could really be using it more to our advantage to, like, fuel the beneficial bacteria, get that more short-chain fatty acid production, get those beneficial ones flourishing so that our pathogenics aren't, like, don't have as much space to do what they need to do. But then same with insolubles. Like, they're obviously seen as bad because they, like, act as a diluent and a physical barrier to absorption, but they also are really good for getting your gizzard and proventriculus going, like the actual functioning, grinding, getting more pepsin exposure, good for, like, digestive flow, like making sure it doesn't flow so fast and that.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Dietforge.ai. AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. The Poultry Science Association is dedicated to advancing poultry science worldwide. Learn more at poultryscience.org. Anatox, partnering with the world's food producers to develop and deliver innovative programs to efficiently produce safer food. Kemin invites you to optimize poultry health and nutrition. Dive in at kemin.com/poultry. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Poultry Nutrition Black Belt. Today, I'm your host, Pratima Adhikari from Mississippi State University. We have a guest today from far on the other side of the globe, Dr. Natalie Morgan. Dr. Morgan is Associate Professor at Curtin University, Perth, Australia. Dr. Morgan, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me. It's good to be here.
You are very welcome, and we're glad you could join today. I know it's a different time zone over there.
Yeah,
a little later. right. And I really appreciate it. And today we will be talking about fiber. And before that, would you like to talk about, introduce to the audience who are listening or watching us about where you're from, which I already introduced you, but what your lab does and what kind of some research that you're working with?
Yes. So my main area of research at the moment is fiber. My background is enzymes. So I did my PhD in phytase in broiler chickens at Nottingham Trent University in England. And then I moved to University of New England to do quite a lot in non-starch polysaccharides, like building up a database and doing quite a bit with NSP enzymes. And then I've moved into oligosaccharides more, so mainly xylooligosaccharides and, like, looking at sort of the prebiotics a bit more. And yeah, quite a lot in method development for measuring fiber, measuring prebiotics. And so yeah, now I'm based in Perth at the moment, so I'm half teaching, half research. And I've, yeah, only been there a couple of years, so trying to build up the poultry team there at the moment.
That is exciting. So how big is your team at that university?
Currently tiny, and I have just a tiny little chicken room. but yeah, I'm doing a bit more on commercial farms, which is pretty exciting because, yeah, I've mainly always been in labs. Exciting. So that's quite nice to, yeah, do more on farms and, yeah, stealing other people's facilities at other unis as well at the moment while I build up mine. So yeah, just a tiny team at the moment, but it's fun kind of starting from scratch, getting chicken stuff going there.
Thank you for your nice introduction. And I know you talked about your works, or you're working with fiber. Fiber is often an overlooked component in poultry diet, even though, you know, we start talking about this protein, amino acids, and energy, which again, fiber gives some kind, some energy too, but it's just really not that pronounced. So could you explain why accounting for fiber, especially in fiber in the poultry diets, is so important for us?
Yeah. So like you said, like, we focus so much on, like, protein, amino acids and stuff. But then if you add up all the nutrients in the matrix, like, it's not 100, like, it's 90 something. And that's because we're not measuring fiber properly. And that's mainly because it's so difficult to measure fiber. Like, it takes a lot to measure all the NSPs. And also people are still a bit confused about different terms of fiber, and also, like, if fiber's a good or a bad thing, and don't understand the importance of measuring both the insoluble and soluble fibers. Like, they have very different properties. They do very different things, and they have both good and bad. So like our soluble, obviously the main focus, everyone worries about viscosity and the effects of that. So how if it's more viscous, you can't get enzyme access as well. You can't absorb everything as well. And then obviously the water consumption, litter problems that come with that as well. But soluble fiber also, like, a lot of it ferments, and that's good. Like, the good bacteria, like, use it. So we could really be using it more to our advantage to, like, fuel the beneficial bacteria, get that more short-chain fatty acid production, get those beneficial ones flourishing so that our pathogenics aren't, like, don't have as much space to do what they need to do. But then same with insolubles. Like, they're obviously seen as bad because they, like, act as a diluent and a physical barrier to absorption, but they also are really good for getting your gizzard and proventriculus going, and like the actual functioning, grinding, getting more pepsin exposure, good for like digestive flow, like making sure it doesn't flow so fast and that. And a lot of it can be converted into soluble and have those good fermentation properties. So it's getting people to not see fiber as the enemy as much, I guess, getting them to think more about the positives we can get from fiber. And just being a lot more aware of the fiber levels in their diet. So I did a study a couple of years ago where I just measured that non-starch polysaccharides in a heap of diets around Australia. And we saw like so much variability in non-starch polysaccharide content. Like the solubles varied from like 5 to 23 grams per kilogram. The insolubles were like 60 to 140, like huge variation. And that's just in like one country. So I think, yeah, people don't really, they're not counting for it when they're formulating. Not many studies are measuring it when they're, like showing their results. So, and we did see like a strong correlation between feed conversion and insoluble fiber in these commercial diets, like the commercial data of farms. So it's something people really need to be thinking more about. And also, obviously, that dictates how it's going to respond to the enzymes that you're putting in the diet as well. So obviously, Australia and Europe, we use wheat-based diets, so they've got a lot of soluble fiber in them. They also have insoluble that can be solubilized by like xylanase and enzymes. Whereas in American stuff with the corn-based diets, those diets are very low in non-starch polysaccharides, particularly soluble. So you're not getting those benefits from the soluble. And also the NSPs are very complex in the corn-based diets. So it's really hard to get, like, you get very variable responses from enzymes. So we definitely need to do more looking at, yeah, how to develop enzymes to be better in those sort of corn-based diets. And just using like fiber to our advantage a bit more. So we can use fiber to manipulate the microbiota. And same with like using oligosaccharides and stuff, like getting the microbiota, like stimulating those fiber degrading bacteria species that produce those enzymes like cellulase and xylanase that can, yeah, make our microbiota a lot better.
Yeah, no, amazing. Thank you so much for this long and very good and like a 101 description of fiber. And for some of our audience, and maybe most of our audience, like we have not understood completely about fiber. Yeah, we have heard this term. And being a nutritionist, yes, we have heard this term and used and worked with this a lot more than any other people in the field, right? I mean, not necessarily, I mean, a welfare person knows about fiber and its uses. And I really like your point, how you talk about microbiota and nutrient utilization, because the recent research that we have seen in a lot of papers that have been published from different research and no matter what part of the world, we're trying to understand that effect of fiber at the gut level, which I think it is more in a technology, more research, and people are understanding, investigating more. And that is a nice thing about fiber. That's really great. And what do you, so when you formulate your diet, so how do you look at, let's say we do proximate analysis and it has maybe crude fiber, we can ask for more than a crude fiber, because crude fiber will not tell all the picture. So what kind of analysis that you ask for your diet?
So the dream is to do like the full non-starch polysaccharides. So yeah, but as I said, it's very difficult. Like, you need the specialized equipment. It takes a lot of time to do the non-starch polysaccharides. But like, I know they are trying to develop like NIR for non-starch polysaccharides at the moment. And like, we're doing work and a lot of other labs too, trying to develop new methods to measure non-starch polysaccharides more easily using equipment people have in their labs. So I think, yeah, we need a lot more research in those sort of methods. So it can be more accessible for everyone to be able to more accurately measure it. But yeah, at the moment it's very difficult, expensive, time consuming to be able to measure all their non-starch polysaccharides.
Ready for more sustainable poultry production? New data suggests that decreasing bacterial loads in feed using Termin 8 supports enteric health, leading to improved performance. Gut health is more than a gut instinct. Learn more today at www.anatox.com.
Yeah, that's a really good point you mentioned. We need to have some technology develop, and it may take a few years down the line, or maybe sooner, so that everybody can really ask for it and we can really analyze these values and then we can put them in a formulation. That's great. We are kind of almost at the end of the program, and maybe we need to have another, again, a longer version just to talk more about fiber and maybe steam biotics. So, you know, we're not going to talk about it today.
To be continued.
Yes, I think all of your research look really exciting down in Perth. Thank you for doing this
for the
poultry industry. Dr. Morgan, do you have anything else to share on fiber side, or what is in the future? What is this looking like for the researcher?
Like I said, I think the main thing is getting these methods going that everyone can use, developing new enzymes that target the more complex fibers, particularly in corn and like sorghum-based diets, more in laying hens. I think we don't know very much at all about fiber in laying hens, and obviously they live a lot longer, they get more mature microbiota. I think anything we can do in the fiber space with them could be really beneficial. Same with breeders, obviously, like broiler breeders, obviously we're very keen on putting fiber in the diets to make them feel less hungry. I think there's a lot more research that needs to be done in that, like what structure and like type of fibers is going to be the best. Having a look more, like I said, we want to try and manipulate the microbiota with fiber. So anything we can do to better understand like the metabolites being produced and like which bugs, like which fiber is the best, I think could be really beneficial.
All right. Thank you so much. And thanks again for joining from a different time zone.
Off to bed now.
Right. And sharing a lot of information and very good information about fiber. Today we had Dr. Natalie Morgan from Perth, University of Cardin. So thank you again for joining. And I'm your host, Prasima. Again, until next time, you all have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you.